Today on Real Radio.
Listen to this. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write to you. Concerning his return, times and the seasons, I will not have to write you a letter. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Read on, read careful.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. Our journey through this apocalyptic account has brought us to chapter 16 and a mini-series called A Time to Be Watching. You see, in so many words, we believers are warned to be vigilant, watchful. The passage implies that we are to avoid both shame and the wrath of Almighty God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called A Time to Be Watching.
Now, the context of our scripture this morning has nothing to do with the rapture, but the hope that Jesus speaks about is applicable to us today and to those in the future during the tribulation period. When the scripture says, I'm going to give you some verses, and again, we'll spend time in verse 15, then we'll race toward the end. A joyful expectation should excite our souls. Blessed, circle the word blessed. The word in the Greek means to be supremely blessed, overwhelmingly blessed, greatly blessed. The Greek word here means to be very, very well off. The word also means to be well situated. Jesus Christ says in the letters of red, behold, I'm coming as a thief. That is upon the world, an unbelieving world. You can almost say, but blessed is he who watches. That's clearly implied. Well off is the guy or the gal who's watching. The word watching here means to be vigilant. Means, in the natural sense, it means to be up. It means to stay awake. I'm going to tell you something, you're going to laugh, but it's the gospel truth. When I first got saved and I heard a teaching on watching and waiting, be watching and waiting, Jesus said to watch and wait, I honestly thought that Pastor Chuck meant that we were to sleep less. This is how I interpreted what he was saying. I was so naive, and I was just so, give me the Bible, pour it down my throat. Watch and wait. Okay, wait, I could understand. Watch, I thought it meant to sleep less, to be awake when he comes. And I, listen, my first 6 months of being a Christian, I was honestly uneasy about sleep. I thought sleep was kind of a wrong thing. I understood the Bible so literally. When the Bible says, those who get drunk at night, those who sleep, sleep in the night, and the Lord will come upon them as a thief in the night. Are you with me? I thought, and I thought it meant to stay up. And I know you laugh, but I was dead serious, man. And so now I'm catching up on all that, but the word to be watching is an amazing word because it's a disposition of your life, of your spirit. It means to keep awake. See that meaning of the word? Stay awake, watch, be vigilant, be watchful and wakeful. But it's in a spiritual sense. To be presiding over my soul, my life, my heart. To be taking the Bible in and to be doing what it has to say. Be vigilant. I'm going to give you some scriptures. Jot them down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. That we are to be waiting for his son from heaven. And that word waiting is the word that dovetails perfectly into watching, vigilantly scanning the horizon, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Hebrews 9:28, I love this verse. Hebrews 9:28 says, Christ was offered up once to bear the sins of many. but to those who eagerly wait for him. Stop right there. Those who eagerly wait for him. Don't answer this question out loud, but can you say you are eagerly waiting for him? If you are not, the scary reality suggests that maybe you're not a real Christian at all. How can I say that? Because the Holy Spirit who resides in the believer wakes up the believer. The Holy Spirit who lives inside you, the one who speaks to you, also says, be ready, watch. Look at the signs of the times. Watch what's going on. Look at the geological world. Look at the meteorological world. Look at the political world. Look at the physical world. Be discerning. Be watching. All these things are speaking about the end times in which you live. Be ready. You don't know when. A person, a Christian who's conscious of being alert and entering into the presence of the Lord also thinks this way. I could die today, so let me live this to your fullest, Lord. There's no morbidity in it. Do you understand that? There's nothing morbid about that. There's a brother that comes a third service faithfully. And every time I mention what I just mentioned, that's why I'm thinking about it right now. He corrects me every service. He comes up and he says, now, Jack, you know, you could live to be an old man and live a long and wonderful life. I said, I know. You tell me this every week or every time I say that. I know that. But the truth is, if I die today, I'm ready. And I'll tell him, I'm ready. And he'll go, but you know, you could live a long, of course I could live a long life. But all along the way, by the grace of God, I want to be ready. You know what I'm talking about? I want to be ready. This word, Jesus says, watch, or the word is also waiting, eagerly waiting. For when he appears the second time, he will appear apart from sin for salvation. Hebrews 9:28. Matthew 24:42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house would have known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have his house broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you expect not. In other words, be ready. Matthew 25:13, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Matthew 26:41, watch, pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew, are you writing these down? Matthew 13:33. 35 and 37, take heed, Jesus said. Listen to this. Take heed, watch, pray, for you know not when the time is. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. These are the words of Jesus. Watch. And church, what that means in our lives is we're going to be watching in everything that we do. Be watching. Listen, it'll affect how you deal with people. It will affect how you relate to people. Do you speak and do you talk to others? Do you do business with others? Is your Christianity, is your home operating under the imminent return of Jesus Christ? Are you mindful of that? Now, I need to say this right now. Paul also had to write to the Thessalonian church because when he preached to them the rapture and their security in Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, he talked about that they were secure in Christ and that the Lord was coming at any time. That's what 1 Thessalonians is all about. 2 Thessalonians is all about the second coming. 1 Thessalonians is about the rapture. 2 Thessalonians is about the second coming. You know what happened? People heard it. What? What did he say? The Lord's coming. You know what they did? They quit their jobs in Thessalonica. And they stood around and they just hung out and they didn't work. And it put a huge burden on the church. Their welfare program was completely inundated with help or with request. And Paul said, if you don't work, you're not to eat. And he actually commands the church not to help them that won't work. Go get a job. Because they thought they were waiting. It could be today. Now, you gotta respect them, their belief and the heart and all that stuff if it's true. But the Holy Spirit was also telling them, you got to go work. So what do? Should we have life insurance? Sure. Should we plan for the future? You read the book of Proverbs, and how many of us have kids? Raise your hand. You have kids. Okay? Wow. Okay, watch. Today, our culture is so sick that people of our age, they blow their money and then they expect their kids to bail them out. That is anti-Bible. The Bible tells us, who just raised our hands, that we're to lay up money for our children and our children's children. Did you know that? We're to be saving money for our kids and for our grandchildren, says the Bible. But our culture drives down the freeway with a motorhome saying, I'm spending my children's inheritance. You ever seen that sticker? Now, if you have that sticker on your motorhome today, I did not see you. I did not see it. It just... When Jesus says, I'm coming as a thief, 2 Peter 3:10 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's 2 Peter 3:10, but he says it in the context of an unbelieving world. It will not overtake. When Jesus Christ comes back for the church, for us in the rapture, it's not going to surprise you. You're going to be ready. And if you're not ready, you're in big trouble. It would simply mean that you haven't been believing, you haven't been listening. I love this. Will you jot this down and just make it fiber in your spiritual growth? It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It is a joy. Listen to this. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you'll have no need that I should write to you. Concerning his return, times and the seasons, I will not have to write you a letter. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Read on, read careful. For when they say, whoever they are, you ask the question, who are they? When they say peace and safety, all is well, life is great, eat, drink, and be merry, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. Listen, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Did you hear that? You are all sons of the light and sons of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Do you hear what he's saying? If you're ready, you'll be expecting a joyful expectation. Not only that, verse 15, we learn that we're to be excited about the Lord's return and watching and waiting because it's what God's people do, and that we guard with firm assurance our Christianity. Keeps his garments. This is a tremendous word of encouragement. Special garments. And I couldn't wait to get into this with you. Keep in mind, as we're reading through the Bible, remember Jacob. Joseph made Jacob a what? Anybody remember? Or Jacob made Joseph what? A coat. A coat of what? Many colors. What was the problem? He could have made him any kind of coat, but it was a coat of many colors. You may or may not know this. In the Hebrew culture, based upon, by the way, position, status, it was common for a very much adored son or daughter to be given a coat or robe of tremendous ornate color or some sort of decor. In fact, listen, remember in your Old Testament reading in 1 and 2 Samuel, King David, his daughters had colorful robes or gowns that they would wear. And everybody knew that those girls belonged to the king. They were the king's daughters. And if you tore those garments, by the way, if you tore, let's say that someone's going to rape one of the king's daughters or violently attack her. If you tore that garment, you were attacking the king himself. to lay siege to her would be to lay siege to Solomon or to David, and it was punishable by death. Why? The outward display announced, I'm owned by the king. Are you with me? When Jacob gave Joseph this coat, he was announcing, this is the son of my pleasure. What do you think his brothers hated him for? They were jealous. Joseph's coat of many colors. When Jacob gave that to Joseph and that coat was put on, you know what it meant? That's why his brothers couldn't stand him. He receives the kingdom. He receives the blessing. He's my favorite boy. He is the one. Bow down to him. He's been picked. He's it. Now keep that in mind as we look at this. By the way, that's Genesis 37. The Bible says that because Jacob loved Joseph so much, he gave him this coat of many colors. But listen to this, Romans 13:11. Romans 13:11 says, and do this, knowing this, that the time, that it is now high time, that we awake up out of our sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Isn't that true for all of us? You've never lived this day before. Today's the first day. What's past is past. We are one day closer to entering heaven, to entering eternity. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, not in drunkenness, not in lewd conduct or lust, not in strife or envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. What's he saying? In a sense, put on the coat of many colors. That's Jesus. Put him on. When you and I leave this place today, before you even leave it, when you're sitting here right now, when you go, when you come in and when you go out, when you rise up and when you lay down, you have the Lord Jesus Christ upon your life. You're a Christian. That's why when somebody says, I'm a Christian, do you understand this? When someone says, I'm a Christian, I almost wish people wouldn't say it so quickly. Because the moment you say, I'm a Christian, we have to assume that you've been given a coat of many colors by the King, that you have been now putting on Jesus Christ. And so you say, I'm a Christian, and then you go out and you swindle people in business. And you're dragging Christ through the mud. You're cutting corners, you're ripping off this client, or you're scamming that supplier, or you're shortcutting this thing on that deal, and you name the name of Christ, and you may not be able to see it, but God says, I put upon you a coat of many colors. You're selected, you're mine, and you ought not to be living like that. That's why I wish people would wait before they raise their hand to say they're a Christian. Are you sure? You know, the men's ministry tomorrow starts the book of James. I've told you often, and when we went through the book of James, you can sum up James with just a simple statement as this. James, the very book, warns us that if we can talk about faith all we want, but if we don't have works backing up our faith, it's a joke. And so James would be the kind of guy who would walk up and say, I'm going to move into your house for 1 month. I'm going to listen to the conversations in your house. I'm going to be with you at all times. Think about this. A man who never leaves you alone. I'm going to be sitting down with you at your table. I'm going to be with you with your computer. I'm going to be at your job. I'm going to be with you in your commute. I'm going to watch you. And I appreciate it if you don't say one word. Can you imagine James just say, don't say a word. I'm just going to watch you. Because I don't care what you, James would say, I don't care what you say. And at the end of 1 month, I, James the Apostle, will tell you if you are a Christian or not. Yeah, but you know what? James would say, no, I will watch you. And I'll tell you at the end of 1 month if you know Jesus or not. And you say, well, that would be scary. Did you know that's what the Holy Spirit is doing with us right now? He's reporting to the Father. He's reporting to the Son. Because he's with us in the commute. He's with us at the computer. He's with us at table. He's with us in the company. We're not fooling him. Put on the Lord Jesus. when we say, I'm a Christian. We are to walk in Christ. No, we won't walk sinless. But here's the beautiful thing. Oh, this is good. I encourage you, please humble yourself when you sin, especially with the non-believer. Especially with the non-believer. When you are at work and you pick up that hammer and you smash your thumb instead of that nail and some superlative flies out, oh, Buddha! Oh. Everybody's going to look because you got Christian stickers on your work truck. You got Jesus Saves on your shirt. I pray in Jesus' name, plastered all over your shirt. You know what you do at that point? And God will redeem the second. He will redeem it that fast. And then he will even establish your witness. Watch this. Oh, how can he establish my witness after I just blew it? Just like this. Wham, wham, wham. Thumb, blood everywhere. Oh, superlative. Oh. Guys, sorry. Just smashed my finger. That ought not to have come out of my mouth. And I'm a Christian. Sorry, please forgive me. Blood's going everywhere. You're hemorrhaging, you know. But you're redeeming the moment. Because you know what? You will actually gain more mileage with them if you say, guys, forgive me. That was wrong. Jesus would not have done that. Sorry. Do you know what those guys, they'll go back to work and they're thinking, that's the first time I've ever seen that happen. Because most Christians smash their thumb on the job or cut it off and go nuts and then blame it on me because I was four stories up on a rafter. That's what they're expecting Christians to do. You will communicate to them that there's a God in heaven who loves them and that forgives sins. Think about that. It's very important. Matthew 22:11 regarding our garments that he's given us and that we keep them clean as the scripture says here. But when the king came, Jesus is speaking in this parable, to see his guest at this wonderful wedding ceremony, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in without a garment to this wedding? And the man was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, bind this man hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You got to have Jesus on, my friend.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called A Time to Be Watching. Join us tomorrow on Real Radio as we continue with more in our look at this apocalyptic report by the Apostle John. Meanwhile, pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. At realradioactive.org, you'll be able to hear past broadcasts of Real Radio at no charge. In fact, another free service is a subscription to our podcasts. You see, our mission at Real Radio is simple. We just want you to be informed and equipped. So, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, we kindly ask that you remember the expenses involved in bringing you this daily program. So if you can, help out by contributing to our radio fund. There's more than one way to contact us. Here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at www.realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.